So let's read together at Colossians 3, 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now, for our background note today, let's say something about the makeup of the church at Colossae. Notice in verse 18, wives are directly addressed. Notice in verse 19, husbands are directly addressed. Notice in verse 20, children are directly addressed. Verse 21, fathers are directly addressed. Verse 22, servants or slaves are directly addressed. And chapter 4, verse 1, masters are directly addressed. Now remember, this is a letter to the church at Colossae in the first century, and it would have been read publicly when the church was all gathered together. So it's quite obvious then from all of these categories that we've mentioned that they would all be there listening to this letter read. Christian husbands, Christian wives, Christian children, Christian masters, Christian slaves, all gathered together in the name of Christ there at Colossae. Now, the word for children that's used here in verse 20 is not babies or little children, but youths. All right? And it would certainly include junior hires and certainly include teenagers. So scripture right here then in verse 20 is being directly addressed to this age group. The fact that they're all gathered together there at the Church of Colossae, all being directly addressed, shows they would all be there, including the preteens and the teenagers. They would be considered members of the church then. And so this would be good for today as well. Preteens, teenagers, all considered part of the church. As members of the body of Christ, Christian preteens and teenagers form a vital part of any church today. So much then for our background note and how the church at Colossae was composed. Now let's move to our doctrinal point for today, and it's this. We must relate to God's authority structures. We've been talking in our last session about we must relate to fellow believers. Now we're moving to, you might say, another circle, a wider circle. We must relate to God's authority structures. If we would make Christ supreme and all-sufficient in our lives, remember that's the great theme of Colossians, Christ's supremacy and his all-sufficiency. If we would make that very practical in our lives, if we would make Christ supreme and all-sufficient in our lives, then one, we're going to gain victory over sin in our personal lives. That's verses 1 through 5. Two, we're going to put off the old man and put on the new. That's verses 6 through 10. Three, we're going to relate properly to fellow believers. That was verses 11 through 17. And now, we are also going to properly submit to God's authority structures. That's verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. Now, why do we say God's authority structures? Because all authority really is from God. Let me read Romans 13 and verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. All authority finds its source in God. You remember when the Apostle Paul wrote this book of Romans, the Epistle of Romans, Nero was on the throne, and there was no retraction of this whatever. So all authority ultimately finds its source in God. Even though some of those authorities may be used against God, great abuse of authority, still all authority finds its ultimate source in God. Now, God has chosen to channel down his authority to us in four different lines, four different structures, not one, not six, not ten, but four. What are they? What are the four biblical lines of authority? There's the family or home. There's the church, spiritual authority. There's the state, civil authority. And there's also the area of labor. Now, our passage here that we've read today deals with two of these areas, the home and the area of labor. In this session, we'll talk about the home. In our next session, we'll talk about the area of labor. But in reference to the home, we read about the role of wives in verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Submit? Does the Bible actually say that? Wives are to submit? Yes, it does. But now remember, subordination is not inferiority. To submit to an authority in an authority structure is not to be inferior. To submit is not to take a lower value. Now, it's true, there's been many abuses. So at times, that's what happens. But in actuality, subordination is not inferiority. Our Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, here on earth, submitted to the will of his Father. He was subordinate. He submitted, but he was not inferior. He was equal with the Father. Now, I do want you to notice that it does say, as is fitting in the Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands, not somebody else's husbands, your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. So it's in the Lord. Obviously, if a husband, say a non-Christian husband, tells his Christian wife to go shoot herself, or get an abortion, or stop being a Christian, she doesn't submit to these orders. She may, of course, refer to other lines of authority, which she's also subject to. For example, the church. In verse 19, we have something about husbands. Husbands, it's a command. Love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Husbands are to love their wives. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't command the husbands, husbands, force your wives to obey you and be subject to you. That's not the command. It's to love your wives. In fact, harsh authority, really, as you can see here, leads to bitterness. And husbands are commanded here not to be bitter or harsh toward their wives. Wives are like flowers. They wilt under harsh authority. They blossom under TLC, tender loving care. You ever hear that before? Well, you single guys here, remember that for the future. The command here is to love. And once again, the word love here is agape. It's a love of the will. It's that voluntary denial of self in the interest of other. If some husband comes to me and says, oh, I can't obey this. You know, in my marriage, the romance is gone. The spark is not there anymore. Well, what's the answer? So what? You still love your wife as a matter of the will. The romance and the spark, that's great. That is the icing on the cake, right? But the command here is to love by an act of the will. More we could say. But in verse 20, now we have the children directly addressed. And remember, as we've said in our background note, this does include the preteens and the teenagers. They are to obey in all things. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. But suppose a Christian teenager has non-Christian parents. What then? Well, you still obey. Now, Ephesians 6:1, the parallel passage, does say, in the Lord. So certainly, if a non-Christian parent said to a Christian teenager, stop being a Christian, or go rob a bank for me, well, you don't obey. Acts 5:29 certainly applies here. We ought to obey God rather than man. But notice it says, to obey your parents is well-pleasing to the Lord. Can parents be unreasonable? You better believe it. Yes, they can. But still, to obey is pleasing to the Lord. Now, in verse 21, we have a command to the fathers. Now, the word here, fathers, could be translated parents, but most likely fathers are particularly in view here. And they are told not to provoke their children. What does that mean? Provoke. Don't provoke or exasperate or embitter. That is, by petty or unreasonable demands or by constantly nagging. How many times have I told you not to cough without covering your mouth? Or how many times have I told you to learn to talk in sentences? All right, you parents that are listening to me, you know, let's be able to flex a little bit, all right? Let's not discourage our children. You see, that's what it says here. Lest they be discouraged. They can lose heart. They can become spiritless. They can become like zombies. Now, you single people here, even teenagers here, remember this for when you become a father, when you become a parent as well. Well, there's more we can say, but let's move on to a particular practical application from this passage. And I'd like to put our practical application for today in this way. Remember the model of our Lord Jesus as a teenager. So our application for today is particularly to teenagers, because there's a number of you listening to me today. Remember the model of our Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, we have an event from the life of our Lord when he was a teenager. In fact, Luke chapter 2 really gives us just about the only event we know of from Scripture as to the life of our Lord when he was a teenager. He was 12 years old at the time, and he went with his parents up to the temple at the time of the Passover. And you remember the story. He was there speaking with the Jewish leaders when Mary and Joseph found him. And as he went back with them to Nazareth, the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, was subject to them. And the word really is continually subject to them. So that would carry right into his teenage years. Think of it. The Son of God, subject to his earthly parents. Do you think Mary and Joseph were ever unreasonable? Well, what parents aren't at times unreasonable? But our Lord Jesus was subject to them. What a great model to follow. So if you're a teenager here today, memorize Luke 2:51 and follow the great model we have here of Christ as a teenager.